Bill Curry Ford. Bill Curry Ford presents the Ira Kaufman podcast and all of Ira's work at joebucksfan.com. Up to $10,000 off MSRP right now on new 2024 Ford F-150 models, 3.9% financing available. BillCurryFord.com. They're a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. They are family owned, the Curry family, since 1960. That means a lot. General manager Sean Sullivan, he is the go-to guy there. He's our JoeBucksFan.com draft guru here. He loves Bucks fans. You can trust him. You can talk to him. And more important, well, maybe not more important, but he will give you the Ira Kaufman discount on top of any offer. And they've got many, many more offers at the website. You've got new 2025 Ford Escape models, lease for $264 a month for 36 months. Go to the website to see all the details. Broncos, get there. BillCurryFord.com. And they're open Sundays, new Sunday service hours from 11 to 4. Don't worry, service with Curry. Don't worry, drive with Curry. BillCurryFord.com. That's the last name, C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com. And our thanks on the podcast always goes to Florida's Elite Restoration, Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Get to their website so you have a plan and you know who to trust and you know who the experts are and who cares about you and who loves Bucks fans when you have a disaster at your property. Fire, flood, mold, storm damage, water damage, get there. Ira is the water damage whisperer. He loves Florida's Elite Restoration, and we'll talk more about them later in the podcast. Thank you for listening at Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Podcast Addict. Subscribe, leave a review, and thousands of you listen at JoeBucksFan.com. That's what we like the most. All right, I'm Steve Isbitz with Lee DeCamper. We're both of JoeBucksFan.com. This is the Ira Kaufman Podcast, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the water damage whisperer, Uncle Ira, the king of Newport Richie. Lee, I got some bad news. I got bad news. People aren't going to like it. You ready?
I think I know it.
I know you know it because we're sitting here and the sage is not here.
Yeah.
He's sick. Under the weather. It's been a few days. It's not a big thing, but it's not a small thing. And now we feel bad for him. You know how much he loves to smack us around on this podcast and stuff his face.
Is this the first time he's been AWOL because of an illness?
You know, I think his own illness, yeah.
Yeah.
Not counting his hip surgery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, exactly, yeah.
And his
an elective procedure.
And his various rectal exams.
Ooh.
No, yeah, this sucks. So we're down without the sage, but we have a couple of things to talk about, as well as a little bit of a surprise, at least to a lot of our listeners. So let me get the surprise out of the way. Later this episode, we're going to have an interview with new Bucks offensive coordinator Josh Grizzard. Now, some people have heard this interview because it aired on the Joe Bucks Fan Show on WDAE, which a lot of people are like, you guys got Joe Bucks Fan Show on WDAE? Yes, we do. On 95.3 FM, AM 620. Airs on Saturdays. The time is going to change a bit here and there, but then it'll settle in. And this was an exclusive sit-down we did. So I'm going to stick that in here. And Saturday, Lee will be on at 5 o'clock. On WDAE, and eventually I think it'll be on their website. People can catch the show, but for now, it's just old school live radio.
I'd like to think that somewhere the big dog, Steve Dumig, is smiling, if not laughing, and chuckling to himself, the flag wavers.
The flag wavers, yeah. We used to do that show, Drive Time, Wednesdays, 5 to 6, with the big dog in studio. Very, very popular. We were even once told that was the most popular hour on the station. And fun times. Dumig did us a solid by giving us that infomercial, but really more letting us slap him around and have some real fun. We had a lot of great laughs before the show, after the show, you know, off at times when we would hang out off-site. And
yeah.
There was that one time where the big dog, rest in peace, he was at a strip club, and he sent out a video, and you retweeted it, and he didn't realize he sent the video out, and he was pissed off, and you're like, Steve, you put it on social media. He's like, well, maybe you should have thought that it didn't belong there.
Well, one of the coolest times we had after the show, and I can't remember the name of the bar, maybe you remember it, but it's Matt Geiger's bar up on Roosevelt and Ulmerton, and we walk in with Steve. The bartender sees Steve. He had his own little seat. No one sat in that seat. The bartender sees Steve and immediately puts two remotes down right in front of him. Like, here you go, Steve. And he didn't have to say anything. And they put his drink in front of him, some kind of vodka drink. So they knew, right? It was right when you see Steve, like, okay, vodka and two remotes. We got it. We got you, Steve.
Yeah, the big dog watched the games. There was no question. He took notes and all that, which is what you would expect. But, yeah, it's good to be back on WDAE, Lee. And you know what? Ira was on last show on Saturday, and that will be continue to happen. So it'll be another opportunity to hear the sage. But one day, Lee, when we write the Joe Buckstan book, the memoir, we'll have some good WDAE stories to tell.
Oh, boy.
And hopefully some new memories to be made through this show. And wherever that goes or doesn't go, we're just glad to be able to talk to Bucks fans anywhere we can. And, you know, of course, it's nice to be paid, too. So that, you know, that helps.
By the way, is it too early to pimp what we have coming for fans in the next few days? Around the corner, like, you know, a week, 10 days from now?
Yeah, we'll get to that at the end. After Dross Grizzard, we'll talk about a couple of those things coming up so people are aware and can make notes. No sleeping here at JoeBucksFan.com.
No snooze.
And I've got a couple of Bucks things, though, Lee. A few things. Now, this was an interesting nugget that I don't know if it's real, but because the guy is smart, because the guy has been coached up well, because he plays things close to the vest, because he played it close to the vest in this interview, I had to think there's maybe something to it. And frankly, you know how this goes, Lee. We publish something on Joe Bucks Fan that maybe speaks to something going on. Sometimes we get a text saying, you guys are idiots, or, hey, you know, you might want to rethink that, or, hey, who told you that? You know, kind of stuff. It can go.
Where'd you get that from?
It can all go in all different directions. And or it goes, hey, yeah, that's not right. Oh, you want to put that on the record? Oh, no. So, you know, this is the lying season in the NFL, the silly season, the misdirection season. And here's what happened, Lee. So I'm listening to SiriusXM NFL radio, and Graham Barton comes on interview. I'm like, oh, jackpot. This is nice. Yeah. You know, a little Bucks talk. And they asked him about doing the tush push, and, hey, he seems to be big enough, strong enough, and, you know, the Bucks seem to have the personnel that could pull it off and the quarterback that could run it. And they asked him about it. And so Barton says, yeah, I've looked at it. I think I could do it. And, of course, we hope he gets stronger in year two. Mm-hmm. But he started talking about his offensive lineman. And when it came to Gedeky, he says, quote, Luke Gedeky probably getting ready to sign a big deal. You know, he's one of the best right tackles in the NFL. And I'm like, Graham Barton saying probably getting ready to sign a big deal? I don't think that's just a one-off comment.
These guys, they hang together. They talk to each other. You know, wasn't it just last week at the Super Bowl? Tristan Wirfs was talking about somebody off the top of my head. Hainsey, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, no, I don't think Hainsey's coming back. So, yeah, I don't think that was a throwaway line. I don't think Barton, how can I say this? He's a smart guy, obviously. He went to Duke. But I don't think he's savvy enough to, in a lying season, get out there and like, hey, I think Gedeky's going to do it when it's not happening. I don't think he's that savvy or devious to do something like that. So I believe him. I absolutely believe him.
And you know what? Gedeky just finished his third year as a second-round pick. That means he's on a four-year rookie contract. He's got 1 year left. He's going to count $3.5 million or so against the cap. But the Bucks clearly love him. He's played great. Mm-hmm. And they have the ability under NFL rules to re-sign him and extend his contract. And maybe that's in the works now to save a couple million in salary cap room to get what would make you very happy, a big-name edge rusher.
Oh, I think I'll make a lot of Bucks fans. Since you said it, we'll just segue into this, unless you want to talk about Gedeky some more. I just find it funny that Gerald McCoy has been very vocal how the Bucks need badly an edge rusher. You know, obviously it's like, well, shocker, but I just think it's funny that McCoy is very open. Like, you know, he went on Jim Rome and he argued like, oh, the first round pick, you know, people say you can't trade it. Those guys are 50-50. Well, Myles Garrett's 100%. Very valid. That's a valid point. And then he gets on Twitter today and he's like rhetorically trying to get Joey Bosa to like, hey, I know a place in Florida that'll save you taxes and it'll be cheaper to play. I just think it's hilarious.
Yeah, he's been open that's their greatest need. And
no question.
He's done so many interviews, it's hard to remember where he was when he said what. But he's been very, very clear
go with Rome real quick. He interrupted Rome. He's like, wait a minute, I got to get this off my chest. And then he went off about Myles Garrett.
Yeah, no, he's preaching it. You know, he's probably texting Jason Light.
Yeah.
And McCoy now is an NFL Network voice. He's got even more
cachet,
stock. I don't know stock. What the right word is, but he's not
going to
be. He won't be ignored in the same way he might if, you know.
Some random X player.
Yeah. Texting in or whatever. So it's kind of fun. McCoy, when he was on WDAE, he strongly implied, and he did it intentionally, implied that Baker Mayfield was furious with Liam Cohen and that he had the dirt on that. But he was pressed to share it, and he said, it's not going to do anybody any good. And he said, maybe another time, maybe down the road. It's not for me to talk about. I could, but what's it going to do? I've learned sometimes, you know, it's not going to help anybody. Maybe that's a story for years down the road. So,
wow.
But we're going to try to flush that out, even though we're not, because they're not going to talk about it. You know, and I think it's fascinating on a media front, Lee. Fans don't necessarily care about the media, but it's tied to the Bucs and how things operate, and it deals with a current player. Now, you saw it, I saw it, a lot of fans saw it. We didn't write about it because there's no name attached to it, but one of the current Buccaneers, or at least the 2024 Buccaneers, was a victim of this Chilean gang, this South American gang scandal, where Bucks had a home game against the Ravens, a Monday Night Football, and somebody on the Bucks was named in this FBI. Federal charges were filed, and it included we know who the charges were against, but it named an unnamed Buccaneer, yet other players were named. So that name didn't come out. Now, think about that. That game, I believe, was in October against the Ravens.
About the time that Burrow got hit.
So somebody on the Bucks got hit for $167,000 of theft, probably a big name player. Now, these players, not all of them, but some of them waste a lot of money on a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But somebody has $167,000 worth of property laying around. It may be a bigger name player. And obviously a lot of these other crimes that happen and were big name players. Mm-hmm. But nobody knew about it until just now. So all the players knew. Stuff like that spreads like wildfire in the locker room. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of money. It became a topic in the NFL, but it was kept completely quiet. So it just illustrates there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes that nobody knows.
Oh, my gosh. A ton. And we hear stuff, you know, like, well, here's a great example, because it's so lurid. You heard the stories about Kellen Winslow Jr., right? What
sure.
He was doing on airplanes.
Sure.
And just FYI for people, I'll clean this up. But basically, he liked to curl up in a blanket on road trips on the plane, and he'd take his phone out, and he enjoyed himself with adult films. I'll just leave it at that. On an airplane, in front of his teammates. But he had the decency to cover up with a blanket.
Now, I once traveled on the Buccaneers team plane, was invited to, came home from a game with the against the Panthers. Thank you, Bucks. I'm not allowed to talk about that. I was sworn to secrecy on everything on that plane. But I will say...
How many years ago was that? 8 years ago?
I don't know. Yeah, probably 7 years ago.
And it was a holiday. They offered to you some getting back home for the holidays, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, bottom line, the layout there is a little more private than on a commercial airliner. So, I'm not making excuses for Kellen Winslow. I want fans visual to not think of... you know, three guys in a row of seats or something like that.
Oh, yeah,
so it's
yeah,
nothing
yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
The bigger name players actually have their own reclining seat.
It's
not acceptable.
Like, yeah, it's not like he was on Southwest Airlines.
You still have flight attendants and all this stuff going on. So, yeah, not acceptable. Anyway, Lee, one thing we got to hit, you know, there have been some guys cut loose that.
Cap casualty?
Are cap casualties, exactly. So, Lee, in our never-ending quest for edge rushers, before you yell, just get me anybody.
Anybody.
You know, the Steelers cut Preston Smith. Now, this happened, I think it was on Valentine's Day last Friday. And bottom line is, he was traded. Pittsburgh traded for him with the Packers at the trade deadline last year. And he was on the bench with the Steelers after playing for a little while. He was on the bench behind guys who had been hurt. And, you know, bottom line is this guy was a big money, big name edge rusher that Mike Tomlin thought could help his defense last year. And he just kind of got caught in the wash and they cut him because he's due to make some big money. But 10 years, 70 and a half sacks plus 4.5 in the postseason, never missed a game in his NFL career. except when he was made inactive in week 17 of last year. Never missed a game in 10 years, which is stunning. And a lot of the fans still wanted him. And he still had 4.5 sacks last year, even though he bounced between two teams and was buried on the bench pretty much. So this is a guy who, man, he certainly seemed like a viable body. You think the Bucs are interested in a cat like this who has got a lot of mileage on him, but is healthy. This isn't Shaq Barrett.
Well, you just took the words out of my mouth. Is he another Shaq Barrett? I mean that in a positive way. You know, Shaq Barrett was a part-time player when they brought him in. Yes, he was younger, but he was a part-time player. Is that the kind of guy you think you want to bring in and roll the dice with? I think the Bucs are leaning that way, not necessarily this particular player, but I think in theory, they want to, you know, for whatever reason, they're budget shoppers when it comes to edge rusher. They're budget shoppers. And this guy's what, 30, 31?
33. Oh. 10 years. He turns 33 in November, so he's 32.
Well, I know how some general managers, they don't like edge rushers that are 30 or over. They just don't. And you know what? There's a lot of evidence there, a lot of statistical evidence. When edge rushers get to be 30, they hit the wall. That's it. They're done. Reggie White's one of the very few. Miles Garrett may be one of those guys. I saw this in relation to Miles Garrett. Someone did some research. I can't remember what I did with the graphic, but it showed top edge rushers when they hit 30, and their production just went off the cliff, except for Reggie White. Well, good luck finding Reggie White. And they're wondering if Miles Garrett is that guy, i.e. another Reggie White, where he could play well into his 30s and still be a dominant force.
Yeah, and this is part of the thing that I always go back to. This is why the general managers make the money. You know, they got to study these guys. Look at the Commanders last year. They picked up 30-year-old edge rusher Dante Fowler Jr. Had a couple of good years.
Yeah,
got him on the cheap. He had an 11.5 sack season with the Rams. And, you know, some 8-sack, 6-sack seasons.
Of course, he was playing with Aaron Donald, which sure as hell helps. The sure. Bucs have no Hall of Famer on the line.
Well, a lot of people would say, hey, you know, we've got a
couple good ones.
Amazing interior rush, you know.
They do.
So, but bottom line is 10.5 sacks last year out of Dante Fowler off the street for $3,000. The Bucs signed $3 million.
Yeah.
The Bucs signed a guy for $3 million. As you like to say, he allegedly couldn't put the bong down. So you got to find these guys.
Oh, there, bingo. There's Exhibit A, what I just said. The Bucs like to be budget shoppers with the Zed Rush. You really can't be. And they thought maybe they'd find an accident like Randy Gregory. And it didn't work out, obviously.
The wild thing about Fowler is, you know, he didn't make much money, and he's from St. Pete.
I can tell you right now, he's not. I'll be shocked if he comes to the Bucs. I almost said he won't, but I'd be shocked because I remember, you know, Jenna's close with him, Jenna Lane. ESPN. She's close to him. She knows the guy very well.
Or she was, at least.
Yeah, up until a couple years ago, maybe. And I know he said this at the combine when he was coming out in the draft. And Jenna had told me once that he's never gotten off this stance. He has zero desire to play for the Bucs. Yes, he grew up in St. Pete. Yes, he went to Bogasiega High School. By the way, if people ever see me on the street, I've got a story about Dante Fowler in high school that answers some questions. Nothing sinister, nothing illegal, but it just... something about him that people are like, aha. So anyway, but Jenna had told me that Fowler had never gotten off that stance. He wants nothing to do with the Bucs. Yes, he grew up in St. Pete. He was not a Bucs fan, has no emotional connection with the Bucs whatsoever. I just wouldn't bank on him ever coming here.
I'm not referring to him. I used him as an example of a 30-year-old guy that they pulled off the street. I don't know if Washington's going to want him back, but somebody will take him after 10.5 sacks.
Yeah, exactly.
And I guess it's possible. He's on the Bucs' list of potential bargain pass rushers. And, you know, the Washington blitzed a lot, fair amount. So maybe they feel that's a fit here. I don't know.
The guy who sort of intrigues me, sort of, but I think he's washed. He had a good year 2 years ago, but the last 6 or 7 years, he's been a shell of himself. And I think he's hanging on in the NFL mainly because of his name. And that's Khalil Mack. Khalil Mack's what, 33, I think?
I think he's 34.
34, okay. Only 1 year in the past six, I'm going off the top of my head, 1 year in the past six, he's had double-digit sacks. Now, he had a boatload. I think he had 17, something ridiculous. But other than that, the past 6 years, he's been nothing. Now, I know when he first got in the league, first 4 or 5 years of his career, he was dynamite.
And he's supposed to be a free agent in a couple of weeks.
And I heard some scuttlebutt that he was thing about coming to the Raiders. He loved his time with the Raiders. He might go back with the Raiders, and we shall see there. The only reason he intrigues me, not the name, but I think he would fit Todd Bowles' defense a little better than just like a 43 edge rusher. You know, Mac plays linebackers, outside linebacker. Obviously, Bowles plays the 34.
Mac, I looked it up, turns 34 in a couple of days. But you got to put the homework in. That's where these GMs make their money. Look at Calais Campbell. He's going to be 39 coming up before this season. The guy keeps marching on. Yeah. He's not great, but he's had some good years mixed in. And
Has he retired yet?
No, he hasn't retired yet. He'll look for another team this year, but 5 sacks last year. Played every game. And
sacks is dynamite for the Bucs.
he's certainly better than Marquise Watts, Tryon Shoyinka. We'll go down the list.
Oh, my gosh.
Look, Lee, we're going to get over to Josh Grizzard now. This comes from my interview with him on WDAE 95.3 FM and AM 620. BillCurryFord.com. BillCurryFord.com, as you heard at the top of the show. The offers are there for you. You got to take advantage. And even though Ira's sick, you still get the Ira Kaufman discount. Just reach out to Sean Sullivan. He will make it happen for you. And our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration. Florida's Elite Restoration. They are truly elite. Check out their Google reviews. 5 stars across the board in a very difficult business, helping people across the Bay Area and across the state when they're at their toughest times, when they've got a brutal flood that's trashed their house, storm damage, mold, which is a killer and devastating and can cause illnesses, fire. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Be prepared, and they have the Ira Kaufman discount as well, or Joe Bucks fan. Just mention us when you call, and if you need their services after a free evaluation, you will get $500 cash back to use for your deductible or just in your pocket. All right, let's get to Josh Grizzard, the new Bucks offensive coordinator, and then we'll come right back. You've been here with this great offense, 29.5 points a game. But one thing you mentioned today, you've been eager for this job your whole life. What does that look like? Are you 10 years old, hoping to be an offensive coordinator, 15? What does that look like?
The first time I really thought about it, I was a senior in high school. I tore my ACL, and I was able to see the game from the sideline for the first time and looked at it like this would be an opportunity to continue in the game, and you can still have fun and impact the game by talking to the guys that are on the field, talking to the coaches. So from that point, I thought about it. And then as I went through college and continued to figure out what I wanted to do 100%, then it became clear that that was the path I wanted to go. And I tried to set myself up to be able to get a grad assistant job when I got done at Yale.
And I know you said you played safety at Yale. What did you play in high school when you were – were you on offense as well?
I did, yeah. I grew up playing quarterback. Played quarterback, either safety or linebacker, my entire life. So I was able to really play both in high school. So having that foundation on both sides of the ball, I thought would be highly critical getting into coaching.
At Radio Row this week at the Super Bowl, Rashad White was asked to describe you on a national show. He said, "Swaggy dude, brilliant mind, young, electric, good energy." Do you feel like that's you? Is Rashad on the money?
I appreciate Rashad saying that. No, I like to bring energy and be enthusiastic about what I do, and it's not something you have to, or for me to be able to fake it, because I generally enjoy coming to work. It doesn't feel like work. It's not fun to lose, but I love being around the players, the coaches, behind the scenes, creating the plays, and then seeing them executed on game day. So I appreciate Rashad saying that.
Some of the coaches and others that I've talked to here at One Buck, they say you relate to players really well, that everybody can talk to players, but you know how to actually relate to them. Is that something that comes naturally to you? Where does that come from?
Yeah, I feel like I'm just speaking to them how I normally speak, and so I think maybe based on my age that can resonate with even some of the younger guys a little bit more. When it comes to the football side of it, I do feel like I can try to take something that is somewhat complex and be able to compare it to something else that simplifies it in their mind to be able to go out and execute at a high level on game day.
And managing the personalities, you've been around Tyreek Hill, Mike Evans, a lot of different coaches. Is that just something that comes naturally with you? Are you that guy who can bond with all different kinds of players just instantly?
I think that's at the root of coaching is showing guys that you care. And then once they know you care, then you're able to communicate with them at a level to explain what you want to get out of a play or a concept. And so you're going to have a lot of different personalities when it comes to a professional football team. And you can't treat everybody the same, but just understanding how they learn, how they operate, how they work, and try to meet them halfway on getting a point across.
We're talking with Bucks offensive coordinator Josh Grizzard on 95.3 WDAE and AM 620. Coach Ryan Fitzpatrick jumped out on social media with a show of support for you. Did you see that?
I did, yeah.
What's going through your mind when you saw that?
It was pretty cool. I figured that he would take some form of – not that I thought he was going to say anything about me getting this job, but he's always making jabs about Yale Harvard, so that was the least shocking thing I'd seen that day. But he was huge for me. I learned so much from him. It might sound odd from the coach learning from the player.
In Miami,
yeah. At that time, I'd only been in the NFL for a handful of years, and he had played for so many organizations. And he just tried to tell me what he saw good and bad in coordinators and position coaches and trying to eliminate things that are losing. And he was just a wealth of knowledge. And that was on the personnel side of it and just on the field, a competitor. Love him to death.
So you're 34 years old. So basically you're like 30 years old and Ryan Fitzpatrick is saying to you, this guy sucks than this. This guy's terrible at this. Don't emulate this kind of stuff.
It wasn't necessarily like attacking individual people, but it was, hey, when you're a coordinator, have a plan for this scenario or for that scenario, or I like this about this practice scheme. I don't like this about that practice scheme. I don't like the messaging on this, or I do like the messaging on this. So he had just seen so much that it was invaluable, and I still lean on some of those things today.
And were there any other big names that fans would know that reached out to you?
It was great to hear from Coach Cutcliffe at Duke. He's the one that gave me the start at Duke and laying the foundation for understanding how you're supposed to build a program. So to hear from him and get a text from him, I thought was really cool.
Nice. Coach Fitzpatrick, he loved to throw deep. Bucks fans love to throw deep. Mike Evans made a career of that. You were around a lot of that in Miami, but you balanced the run in Miami as well when you were there. I believe you guys even ran more than you passed, even though you had number one passing offense out there. Do you expect to throw deep a little bit more this year with the Bucks, or do you think that's more of an opportunity for this team to grow in that area?
I definitely want to focus on pushing the ball down the field a little bit more. Each week is going to always be a game or week-to-week game plan, trying to take advantage of that opponent that week. Does that mean more rushing or more throwing? But we do want to push the ball down the field a little bit more, and that can create a little bit shorter drives. You're not necessarily going through 12-play drives, 11-play drives all the time, and that's going to be dependent upon the personnel. So it's something we look forward to doing in the spring and getting rolling for the season.
All right, Coach. Well, we appreciate you here on the Joe Bucks Fan Show. New Bucks Seniors Offensive Coordinator Josh Grizzard. It must have been a whirlwind for you, for sure, getting the job and then all that comes with that. My last one here for you is calling plays. You haven't done it before. I know you said that you were going to be looking for more opportunities at practice to call plays, much like Dave Canales did a couple years ago when he was a new play caller. But is there anything more to it? Is there any technology involved? Are you like in the shower every night working on plays? Do you have any sort of software program to aid you in knowing that you can do this in the timetable that you need to?
Not that I'm aware of. I think that it's just a matter of reps where you're comfortable with a play call from the time you create it on a Monday or a Tuesday, and you're saying that play at practice over and over, that by the time you get to the game, you have an idea, this is how it sounds. You don't have to look at your play sheet quite as much. So I think that's the reps of the coaching side of it, just as like if Baker's taking a three-step drop over and over. Once you can do that and have that brain memory of being able to get it out as quick as possible, that makes it quicker to get to the players for them to go execute it.
All right. Well, thanks, Coach. Final thought for the Bucks fans out there. This is your chance to send them off into the winter feeling confident.
I'm fired up about the opportunity. I know it's a large task on leading this unit and leading these men, but we're fired up about the future. There's a fantastic foundation in place, and we want to build on what we did last year and make a run for the Super Bowl.
Thanks, Coach. All right, Lee, you know what? We'll talk about a couple of those Grizzard nuggets when Irie gets back, because I know he had a couple of things to say about that. We'll show the sage some proper respect, the king of Newport, Richie. And I got a question for you, Lee, and then we were going to get out of this podcast. Lewis Murphy did an interview with our friend Rock Riley. Mm-hmm. Now, Lewis Murphy is ex-Buccaneer, played here 3 years, outspoken guy. Got a lot
smart
to say.
Guy.
St. Pete native, smart guy, Gator.
Is he still coaching Gibbs?
I don't think he's still coaching anymore, but he might be an assistant coach. I don't want to speak for him, but he's not the primary coach anymore. Anyway, Murphy was talking to Rock Riley about the Bucks on the Rock Stops Here podcast, Rock's podcast, and Rock was telling him about how Bucks fans are really hard on Todd Bowles, and Murphy was like, are you serious? Like, he didn't believe to the depths that Rock was talking about. And Murphy, still a Bucks fan, still refers to the Bucks as we, grew up in St. Pete. He was saying to Rock, look, I did a coaching internship with Todd Bowles.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was 2 years ago.
Yep.
And this guy's a really good coach. 10 wins, and Murphy started rattling off the injuries. And what was interesting is that I believe Murphy was, he threw in Gedeky. He threw in the injuries that a lot of people don't talk about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And add them all up, and he's like, man, it's so hard in the NFL to come back from this kind of stuff. And, of course, he played with Chris Godwin.
Yeah.
He played with Mike Evans. And, you know, a lot of perspective there, but he said, quote, Bucks fans, hey, lay off of Todd Bowles. You know, lay off the guy. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not what you think he is. And the way he said it, which I can't really express properly here, but he said it in a heartfelt way. But Murphy's not a BS kind of guy.
No.
And he's got this new podcast called One on Ones that I don't know how well it's going to be accepted, but he's, you know, it's just, we're not doing a talk show. We're just debating topics. And
Stephen A. Smith style.
I don't know what that is, but your thoughts on that, the layoff this guy.
We get feedback from fans, from readers, commenters. If we say anything positive about Bowles, man, the Sharks are out after us. How can you tell? I mean, let's think about this. He improves his record every year he's here. Now, I know he had a losing record his first year. And by the way, some of the critiques that fans have, I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm not saying they're inaccurate. Some of them are valid complaints. But here's a guy who improves his record every year. He gets to 10 wins with all these injuries Murphy's talking about. And still, you had fans on our site after they won the division, as they're about ready to host the Redskins in the playoffs. Well, I hope Washington blows out the Bucks, and maybe that'll motivate the Glazers to get rid of him. Who does that? You're in the playoffs, you won a division, you got 10 wins, and you're hoping the Bucks get blown out? Or that's Emmitt Smith blowed out. You're hoping the Bucks get blown out so maybe the coach will get fired? That's hilarious. But and I still think it stems a lot of it. And I'm not saying some of their critiques are wrong, but it's like way over the top. I still think people are bothered by the Cooper Kupp catch in the playoffs against the Rams when he was defensive coordinator.
I don't know. These people, I think there are people bothered by that, but the people who are like, the Bucks should lose in the playoffs.
Not lose, get blown out.
I mean, that's not a lot of people. It's really not a lot of people.
But it shows you that there's a segment or sect. I like to use sect. Bowles can do no right. Bowles can do no right.
It's just an interesting phenomenon. It's going to be going on a little bit. I look forward to talking to Todd Bowles about the fans being hard on him and what he thinks of that. And, you know, I wonder what Bowles was like as a kid when he was watching sports. Was he one of these? He's from New Jersey.
Yeah, he's got to be a Jets fan, right?
I don't know. Well, no, I think I've heard that he was a Cowboys fan.
Really?
I don't remember. We'll ask him.
That's like Artie Lang movie.
We'll see if what his depth of understanding is with that. But we know he doesn't really care.
Did you, and not to get off track here, but this is just a funny antidote. Did you ever see Artie Lang's movie?
No.
It's about him growing up in Jersey, and there was some guy that was a Cowboys fan, and Artie unloaded on the guy, because Artie's a Giants fan. Artie unloaded on the guy, you grew up in the shadow of the Brooklyn Bridge, and he's unloaded on him for being a Cowboys fan.
I'm sure it's on YouTube. Anybody can look that up. I'll look it up, Lee. All right. We are out of here. We will be back next week from the NFL Scouting Combine. Todd Bowles will be talking. That's where we're saying we'll talk to him next week. Jason Light. We'll have a lot of stuff on
all kinds of special guests
on this stuff on the podcast. Looking forward to it. Hopefully Sage is up to it.
Yeah.
We'll see. And you know what? The Bucks are putting together this 50th anniversary documentary, Lee, and we still haven't been called to be in this, and they've called a lot of people to get perspective and stuff.
Well, Ira's a big part of it, right?
Ira's a big part of it, and yes, he's part of us, but you know, it's a very little strange. I think, you know, figure we've got 17 years of this 50-something year history. Gee. Could you tell the story of the Bucks without Joe Bucks fan? Apparently people think you could.
Well, those people would be wrong, but that's what am I supposed to say?
No, I'm just teasing. Ira's a big part of it. He's been ours, but I don't know.
Literally, he's ours.
I think we could add some spice to the documentary on a few subjects, for sure.
How many hours has he spent with him? Like a dozen hours? At
no,
least?
No. I think, I don't know, five maybe.
Well, I know two different days he's spent there, like 6 hours.
Yeah, he sleeps there. He sleeps in Jason Light's office. All right, we're out of here. We'll be back on the Ira Kaufman podcast. Listen and subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Podcast Addict, or just keep listening at joebucksfan.com. Thank you, Bill Curry Ford. Thank you, Florida's Elite Restoration. We're out.